I want to introduce Alan and Nola. In one sense, they need no introduction because we've known them. We've known Nola for, we reckon, about 8 years. I think we're reckoning it's been 7 or 8 years. And Alan came last year. And I know the women yesterday had a fantastic time. I was checking the tape out afterwards so I could listen in on what you're talking. Fantastic time. And the men last night, we had a wonderful time of encouragement as Alan came and stirred us, really. God spoke right to my heart in the time that we had. So it's been great already this weekend to have them with us. We're very expectant that this morning that we're going to receive and that God's going to use them to speak to us individually and as a church. We are so aware of the journey that God's taking us on as a church. And we know we're not just statically doing church, but God is moving us forward. And we're so grateful for that. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is moving us into his purposes and plans at this time. And so it's a privilege. Thank you so much, Nola and Alan, for coming and being amongst us. And bringing so much. I was reflecting on how much over so many years that they have brought to us as individuals and as a church and moved us on, and how grateful we are for them as ministers, as servants of God, that they have brought from God something not just in a weekend, but something which reverberates throughout many months, in fact the whole year, of the prophetic word of God to us. That's outworked over the months that following their visit. So thank you for coming to be amongst us. Let's give them a really warm welcome.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it really is our privilege to be here. It's a wonderful thing to be called of God, to be sown into the life of a fellowship and walk the journey with you. And even when we're not with you, we pray for you throughout the year. So we are so blessed to be here and to be servants of God to you. And we must thank Jan for having us. Jan,
yes.
You have been the hostess with the mostess.
Amen.
You really have. But, you know, I want you to know that your attention to detail in serving us and desiring to serve us as unto the Lord, I believe it's not unnoticed by him.
Amen.
And may the Lord give back to you 100-fold for everything that you've poured out, you've sown. You are a blessing.
Yes, thank you. Amen. Amen.
Well, here we are. We don't come with any great thing within ourselves. We both have theological training and we can bring you a theological word, but we come with what we know of the Father, not what we think, not what we would like to be. We come as ordinary people before you. We have walked through many life experiences that no one knows about. In our lives and families, many things have touched us, as have touched your lives. Mm-hmm. Things like suicide, divorce. Within the first 18 months of our marriage, we both had 3 operations, mm-hmm. sometimes on the same day. There have been many things that have come. So what I'm saying to you is we don't come and preach at you or down to you. We bring you the word of God as he has sown it.
Amen.
And revealed it in our own hearts. We're ordinary people. We walk an ordinary walk. If we told you some of the things that we've experienced in the last few years, you would not believe it. You would shake your head and walk away. We are ordinary folks. And it is a privilege for us to bring you the word of God today. Amen?
Yes, it is. Because God said, when we find Jesus, you know, he never said, well, now you'll never have any problems, any attacks. No, Jesus said to the contrary, there will be persecutions that come. You can count on it. There will be a lot of circumstances you have to deal with. But he promised us the grace. Amen? Amen. And that grace gives us victory. He says in Scripture in 2 different places, that we're always in victory, that we are always caused to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. So no matter what we face, we always are victorious, no matter what we face. And we want to encourage you today. Well, I won't get into the message yet, but it's going to be good. It'll bless you today.
We believe the Lord has a wonderful word for you. And I'm going to bring you what the Lord has laid upon my heart prophetically for you as a fellowship in this season of God. And then Alan's going to bring a teaching from the Word. You see, we're an apostolic and prophetic team. And sometimes you need more of the prophetic, and other times you need more of a release of the apostolic. We're a team. So he's going to bring you what God has given him. But there is no doubt that God has brought you into a new season.
Amen.
The last 4 or 5 months, the Lord has been leading you on a different path, a different track within the context of the vision that he's called you to. And, you know, he's led you on tracks through the years that have brought you into great intimacy with the Father, of knowing his heart and feeling his heart of love towards you. That's very obvious, even in the worship.
Amen.
He's taught you over the years what it is to be a servant of God. Every one of you serving the Lord in your capacity, even many times giving beyond your capacity, giving beyond your ability, giving beyond even pushing through weariness and difficulty to serve in the house of the Lord for the purposes of the gospel. He's led you in intimacy. He's led you in service. But now he's bringing you into a season of faith. And Alan and I, as we've prayed, have called this a faith weekend. Because God, in these last 4 or 5 months, has been imparting and strengthening faith and building faith into you and ministering and developing faith within you, that you might rise as a church to a new level of believing him with great boldness and great ability to lay hold of what God has said to you as a fellowship and go do the works of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's an exciting time. He's bringing you to a place that many of you will see breakthrough in the impossible situations of your life. If you're a human being, there will be at least one area in your life and family that is impossible in the natural realm. Does anyone here face any impossible situations? All of us do in our life, our marriage, our family, our work, our finances, even in our physical body. God is a God of the impossible.
Amen.
And as he comes to generate and stir up and develop faith within you, there will be a greater ability to believe him in areas that last year you couldn't believe him.
Hallelujah.
And hope and faith will come again. And the weariness of believing for breakthrough in that situation, change in that situation, is going to fall away. And you're going to stand as one and say, okay, let's just start to go after these impossible situations. Let's just start to believe God for breakthrough in these things. One at a time, let's go after this family. Let's go after this teenager. Let's go after this person with drug addiction. And let's see the breakthrough. Let's see the King of Kings come and do impossible things in our midst.
Hallelujah.
God has called the whole church to a new level of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Does that witness with you?
Yes.
It's a new time. And this morning, I particularly have a word for Paul and Nick. It's a very simple word. I want you to come and I want you to stand facing one another.
Hallelujah.
We've done this many times.
Oh, really? Oh, really? The Lord has said that you two have been focused on the church, focused on the purposes of God, wholeheartedly, with every fiber of your being, everything toward the gospel. And you've been focused on what he's called this house to and the people, the families in this house. But the Lord says, now I come to turn you in a different direction. Now, I'll just turn Nick slightly.
Amen.
Lord says you two will still have the purposes of the house upon your hearts.
Amen.
Just lay your hand on his heart.
Amen.
You will still carry the people and the vision. But the Lord says, I am turning you both to look outward.
Amen.
To see more than you've ever seen before. To see multitudes of lost.
Hallelujah.
To see what can be in me.
Hallelujah.
To see nations. To see breakthroughs. To see that which you have not had ability to see in the past. Now, Alan, lay your hands on Nick's eyes.
Amen.
Father, I release prophetic anointing.
Yes.
And Alan releases apostolic anointing.
Yes.
We release it in new measure to these leaders. We release it to Joe, to Barbara,
yes,
to every leader,
yes,
to flow through the very heart of this fellowship.
Yes.
That apostolic prophetic anointing that brings breakthrough, change, new order, release souls, prophetic evangelism, prophetic worship, prophetic intercession, financial breakthrough, raises up sons and daughters, brings great release. Father, we thank you for the way you're turning, the way you're leading. And you too, I believe, will literally feel the turning of the Lord, feel the change of season, feel the movement around about you. And I sense that the Lord is saying, don't try and grasp what God is doing with your minds. Don't try and hold it. Don't try and contain what God is doing. For the Lord says, I have things for you that I have not yet spoken, and they will be the details that I bring into the vision. You've had a specific vision that God has given you in this place, but the Lord says now there's going to be a lot of details, a lot of specifics, a lot of timelines, a lot of just things that you're going, it's just going to click within your spirit and much more specific. The prophetic is very detailed, very precise. And so there's going to be precise, even in your scheduling, the Lord says, for various meetings, precision, accuracy in a new level that you've never had before. And so, Alan and I bless you today. Amen. As an apostolic prophetic team, we bless you. Hallelujah. We impart to you. We release to you whatever you need from our lives and ministry that will add to, that will build, that will strengthen this house for the purposes of the Most High God.
Amen. And even as you were saying this morning, Nick, how we want to see rivers. Sometimes we see just a little spring coming up, but we want to see rivers. What the Spirit of God spoke to me was that the rivers that come, when they come forth, and you see this all over the world, it's proven that rivers cut new paths. A river that one time was here, maybe half a mile over here, they take new paths. And as the Spirit of God brings forth these rivers through you, don't expect them to come the same way. Don't be going down the same road saying, oh, this dry riverbed is where the water will flow, because the Spirit of God is going to open up new waterbeds, new ways the river is going to flow, and you're going to have to stay sensitive to God to know which way He's going to go. He will direct every part of your steps. He will show you every path, but you're going to have to be willing to say, Lord, we've done it this way for 2 years, but if you say do it this way, we're changing. If you say go this way or reach out this way, we're going to change, because we know that's where the river is now flowing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Bless you.
Amen. Praise God.
As I was praying, I felt that the Lord began to show me this whole area of Camden, Kentish Town, Tufnell Park, all of the areas around. And when you look around in the natural, you see very specific things. You see it's a highly ethnic area, diverse groups of people from different backgrounds. You see some young people who are trendy, yuppie people who want to live in this area. You see many things, but one thing we often note that we see a lot of people who have an alternative lifestyle, people who are artistic, creative, and people who are into the new age and the occult. We notice it, even catching the train from one end of town to this end of town. And, you know, this seeking of spiritual things through new age areas and through the occult is but a counterfeit of the real. And I want to say to you that I really believe that in the spirit, there are places where you have to dig wells of revival and you have to open things up in the spirit. And it's very hard work. But in this place, you're seeing with the natural, the counterfeit of what is actually here in the real. There is a spring, a pond, a river that God has here for you, and it will be easy for you to flow, not just ankle deep and knee deep and thigh deep and waist deep, but go right into the river of God, and it may be easier than you for you than someone in another part of London. But when you flow in the river of God, keep in mind that you're to be anchored and grounded and line everything up with the Word of God, because I believe that the manifestations of the Spirit that have come into the meetings are but a drop of what God has planned for you. And there will at times be extreme manifestations of the Spirit and wild and different manifestations of the Spirit. Unless you're working with the Word and the Spirit, you won't know whether it's the Lord or the flesh. The word says in Hebrews 4 that it is living and active, and it separates even to dividing soul and spirit. It separates, and it will separate out that which is of God and that which is of another spirit, right, or the soul of man. Right. And as you, right, enter the river of God, and as you go deeper than you ever have before, it will be the word of God that is your foundation, that is your plumb line, and that keeps you, and you will know that you're flowing aright before heaven. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? Amen. Now, we're going to get into the message, and just agree with me now that it will come across as simply as God gave it to me. I tell people everywhere I go, I'm from Texas, and we like things simple in Texas. God speaks to me in Texan, about as simple as you can get. So I try to give it in Texan, you know, just simple. But what I have for you today, and I just believe that in the time we have allotted here, we'll be able to share this with you, because there's a lot to this. But I really want you to open your hearts. I have a question for you, and perhaps it's a silly question when you think about it, but who in here really loves Jesus? Yeah, it was a silly question, wasn't it? Okay. And who in here besides me finds it hard sometime to say thank you to him adequately? Do you ever find that? Your heart is so full. You just can't say thank you. But you know, many times we find that words fail. They will never say adequately what we need to say. But there's better ways to say thank you, and the scripture will bear that out. That's what we're going to cover today. How would you like to say thank you to Jesus the best way possible for everything he's done? Would you like to do that? Okay, now let me ask you a question. If you had someone, let's say you're a college student, and a person walks up to you and says, here is 10,000 pounds for you to attend uni. Now, what would be the best way to say thank you to them? What would be the best way? It would be, there you go. You got it. You would take that money. You could say thank you, but words fall short. You would take that money and say, I will be the best student possible. I will use what you've given me. Did you hear me? If you go to someone's home and they say, have a meal with us, and they spend hours preparing a meal and set a plate before you of sumptuous goodies, and you look and you go, oh, it smells so good. Oh, it looks so, it's just wonderful. Well, that's great to say that. But what really says thank you when you dig in? Do you understand? It's when we use what Jesus has given us that we really say thank you. Are you listening? It's not just our words or raising our hands. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. The way I really express thanks to Jesus is by saying, Jesus, everything you gave on the cross, I want to walk in the fullness of it and do it. That's saying thank you. Do you understand that? Is that simple enough? This message is called Looking Glass. Looking Glass. Go to 1 Corinthians with me, please. And we're going to, as I said, do this as quickly as we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 9. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. That's why we need the whole body of Christ. Not any one person has the whole knowledge of God. Would you agree? I mean, we all contribute, don't we? And, you know, there's things I learn from you and things you learn from me. We learn from each other. Thank God. Amen. We're all contributors to one another. Part of the body of Christ. And it says, when the complete and perfect comes, this is verse 10, that which was incomplete and imperfect will vanish away. So when we become fully aware of these things, and that'll be when we take on our glorified bodies, see Jesus in his perfection, know him in that way, we'll know all things. But in this earth, we're learning, we're growing, right? Now, verse 12 says this, "For now we are looking in a mirror, a looking glass, that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, when we see Jesus in his fullness, we'll know him face to face. When we see him, we'll know him completely." Now, it says now we're looking in a mirror and it's dim, but it's getting clearer and clearer the more we know of Jesus. And this is something that's important. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now, I want you to mark this area of your Bible, please, with a little piece of paper or something, because this is the last verse we will return to also. It's the verse now, but we'll come back to it. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. So we'll come back to this. It says, "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God." What does it mean to continue to behold? Continue to look at. Amen? That means you continuously do it. You don't do it once, all right? You continue to behold in the Word of God. Amen? "As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord." What are we beholding? The glory of the Lord. "Are constantly being transformed," or changed, "transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, we're going to see a little later on, and I'll give you some more scripture in this, but the number one job of every believer, as given by Scripture, it's the Great Commission. What is that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the number one job. But what is the number one responsibility of every believer, as shown in Scripture? The number one responsibility is to become like Jesus in this earth, to be conformed to his image. That's our number one responsibility. When you read Scripture, what Paul says, what James says, we're to become like Jesus. Okay? And if we couldn't do that, we'd have a problem. Jesus wouldn't tell us we need to be like him. He says, "As I am in this world, so are you." Amen? And he said, "The same works I do, you'll do also." You say, "Brother Allen, that sounds great, but how do we get that into reality?" I'm going to show you today. How do we say thank you to Jesus the greatest way? It's easy once you see this. It's not hard. Very, very easy. Now, let's go over to James. Well, let's go to Ephesians first. Let's do this. Ephesians 1:17. Then we'll jump over to James. And then I want to just talk to you a few minutes. Ephesians 1:17, mark 2 Corinthians 3:18, because we'll be back there. "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light." What is light typical or typified in Scripture? It means with revelation. Okay, so God wants the eyes of your heart, your understanding, to be flooded with revelation. This is what Paul is praying here. And he said that we'll know that so that we can know and understand two things: the hope to which he has called you, and the second thing, how rich is his glorious inheritance. So Paul's saying you need to be able to understand and to know the things of Christ, so that you can have hope in this world, and that you can know what your glorious inheritance is in this world. That's very, very important for us. Okay, the book of James, and then I'm going to stop and talk just a few minutes. James chapter 1. And I just read a portion, and then we'll come back to some of it. It says here, verse 22, "Be doers of the word, and not merely listeners, betraying yourselves. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself, and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing his life of obedience. Now, we will comment a little more on that, but I want to bring out some points. The word mirror, by definition, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, means to see oneself in a mirror, to behold oneself. In early times, they used polished steel for mirrors. Now they use glass with a reflective surface on the back. But there's three aspects of a mirror that I need to give you so that you can understand from the concept of the Word of God what's going on. So we're going to deal with those concepts right now. Three concepts of a mirror that you need to write down and understand, and we're going to apply those to the Word of God. First of all, I'm just going to ask randomly, who do you see in there? There you go. You see yourself. How about that? Who do you see?
It's me.
It's you. How about that? That's amazing, isn't it? Whom do you see?
Me.
That's right. Amen. And how about you? Who do you see? You see you. Now, what does that tell us about a mirror? A mirror does not generate an image. It reflects it. Now, listen to me closely. You got to get this. I'm going to put it Texan. Simple. A mirror does not generate an image. It merely reflects it. Okay. You have that? Now, we're going to see how this applies to Scripture here in just a second. Here's a second aspect of it. I'm going to get a volunteer up here. Let's see who I can pick on. Amen. Let's see. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get you. Come here. I'm picking on you. Now, I need, let's see. Who in this room is honest always tells the truth? I need two people. Just come up here. Two people come up here. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Come on. Give me two people up here. There's one. There's another. Good. All right. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to adjust this mirror where you can see yourself, your face. I want you to look at your skin tones. And I want you to stand behind him and look in this mirror with him and look at his face. Okay? All right. Get it? Up high where you can see yourself. There you go. Now, can you see his face in there? Okay, that's all I need. Now, everybody look at his skin tones, everything, see what the color of his face is. Now, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put these on you. Now, looking now, do you notice any color variation in your skin tones wearing those? You don't? It didn't get darker? It got darker. Yeah, it better have gotten darker. Or else the glasses aren't doing what they're supposed to do. You see now, when you look at your skin tone, you see a different shade, do you not? Yeah, you do. But I'm asking these witnesses, did his skin change color? Look in there. Did it change color? But he perceives it as though it changed colors. To him, it seems like it did, but the mirror never lies. You got it? See, the mirror never lies. So even though with these sunglasses on, it looks like his skin changed color, these witnesses said, no, it didn't change color. It's just he perceives it that way. You got it? All right. Praise God. We'll explain this. Thank you. You are great. All of you, thank you. Yeah. Now, I need one more volunteer. Just one more. All right. Good. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to show you three different mirrors. I'm going to try to adjust them at a height where you can see your face. And I want you to take your hands and adjust from the top of where you see yourself in the mirror to the bottom. Like you'll see so much of your face. Put your hands in those positions. You understand what I mean? Like that. Exactly. Okay? So just using... Yeah. Now let me get it. Is that your face?
About
Look, do I need to tilt it up more? Okay. Okay, now the bottom. Now, where's the bottom? Bring your hand up, bottom hand up, where the bottom of it is. What do you see? Okay, yeah, just put it on your on where it reflects. That's how much do you see of you?
I see the top of the forehead.
Right there. Okay, put your hands right there. Do you see that? How wide a gap is that, folks? See how wide that is? Okay. All right. Listen, you'll understand this when we get through. You will understand this, I promise. God gave me this in Texan. It's understandable. All right, I'm doing this mirror now, doing the same thing. Show the gap. Okay, I'm too high. I need to get down. Now, okay, put your hands where you see. Okay, now, I don't know if you can tell, but that's wider. The gap's wider. Let's try this one. Okay? Now this mirror. Oh, what's going on there? What happened? Gap's wider. What does that say to us? The bigger the mirror, the more you see. Thank you. Three aspects of a mirror. One, a mirror does not generate an image. It reflects an image. Number two, a mirror always shows a true image regardless if the person looking at it sees it in the wrong perception or not. It's still the truth. And thirdly, the bigger the mirror, the more you see. Everybody understand that? Now, how does that apply to the Word of God? Remember, I introduced this by saying, how many of you want to say thank you to Jesus in the greatest way possible? The way we say thank you is by taking what's given us and using it to the best of our ability for the glory of the one who gave it to us. Amen? Hallelujah. What a mirror does is it reflects an image. Now, we saw in three passages of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 3, and in James, that the Word of God is called a mirror. Which means when I open the Bible and start to read it, we know that the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. As Nola shared this morning, it's alive, isn't it? It's alive. Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. But what is it alive to do? There's been a misconception by some people that when you read the Word, it's like a magic amulet. And as you read it, it suddenly makes you what you're reading. But that's not true. Let me ask you a question, and I'm leading to a point. Please listen. If you bought a brand new stereo, okay? And in reading about that stereo, it has the ability to hold 5 CDs at once. Everybody follow me? You with me? Does the fact that you open the page of the instruction manual and suddenly read, this stereo has a CD changer that will hold 5 CDs, suddenly make it appear in the CD player? No. What is it doing? It's telling you what already is there. That is what the Bible is. It is a mirror, an instruction book of what already exists inside of you. When you read the Word, it is not making it come. When you read the Word, it is telling you what you already have. It's a mirror. Hallelujah. Now get hold of this. Because that means when you read in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It is not something you're saying, oh God, I would like if that were true in my life. I want to see the sick healed. No, you already have that. The mirror is reflecting the fact you already are that. So what is the purpose of reading the Word? To renew our mind, to let us know. It is the reference manual. It is the instruction book that tells us what we already have on the inside. When you're born again, Jesus says you are made brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man in Christ is a new creature. That word creature means species that never before existed. You're made brand new. And verse 18 says,
all things are of God. Hallelujah. That means when you're born again, what comes in you is the same thing that was in Jesus. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans 8:11, dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal temporary body. The same Spirit's in you. Now, when the Holy Spirit came to live in you, to dwell in you as he dwells in you, what didn't he bring? Did he forget the gifts? Did he come inside of you and say, oops, energy, Nolan, I forgot to bring the gifts with me, sorry. You can do everything but the gifts of the Spirit, I forgot. No, when the Holy Spirit came in you, did he bring the gifts? Did he bring the fruit? Did he bring every promise? Did he bring everything that Jesus died on the cross to give you? Did the Holy Spirit put it in you right then and there when you accepted Jesus? Yes, he did. How do you know what it is? You look in the mirror. Now, folks, let's be real. Let's be real. When we go by a mirror, or when we're getting ready, you don't go, if there's a mirror right here, you don't go, okay. What do? You get in front. Take your teeth, make sure your hair is straight. Straighten the tie. Don't you? You spend time in front of the mirror. Hallelujah. So for us to know what kind of man we are, because James said, if we just casually look in the mirror, then we'll forget what kind of man we are. But if we persevere in looking in the mirror, it tells us the kind of person we really are. And therefore, we can be obedient to God. Now, you say, well, Brother Allen, sometimes it's challenging to be obedient. It is if you try to be obedient based upon a law or works. Well, I should do this for God. I should do that for God. Rather than seeing yourself. You know what would be totally foolish is to have a cat right here who's meowing and running around and purring, playing with the ball, eating cat food, and say, cat, you need to act like a cat. You're not acting like a cat. You need to be a cat. Act like a cat. And yet we as Christians don't realize we are Christians. We are believers. We are children of the Most High God, and we are already complete in Christ in the inner man. For us to do the works of Jesus simply means we are acting out what we already are, not what we're trying to become. Paul put it this way to the Galatians. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Who has bewitched you? That you think through some works, good deeds, following some rituals, you are going to finish what the Spirit of God gave you as a gift. He said, why don't you just be what you are? You see, I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. What is it my nature to do? Live for God. What is it my nature to do? Serve Him my life. It's my nature to please Him. It's my nature to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is my nature. Look in the mirror. What does the mirror say about you? Does the mirror reflect you as being stupid? No. What does the mirror say? You have the mind of Christ. You have the wisdom of God. Amen? What does the mirror show you? Is the mirror making that, or is it just showing you what you already have? Are you getting this? Or do you understand it? It shows you what you already have. Now, what happens to us is this. Grandma's sweet, but grandma can be wrong. Grandma teaches you, well, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Well, grandma teaches you, well, God will put a sickness on you to teach you something. You can't find that in Scripture.
The devil is the author of sin and sickness and disease. That's why Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. God never uses sickness to teach us anything. He uses his word. And in the midst of circumstances, he will show us things, but he doesn't send those to teach us anything. He's got his word. He's got an instruction manual. He's got a mirror. Why does he need something from the devil? But you know what? Those mess up our perception in the mirror. Religion, traditions of men, what grandma said, they mess up how we look in the mirror. That's why we've got to learn that the mirror is true regardless of what we've thought in the past. Lord, I don't feel like I'm capable of doing this. But what did Nola prophetically say this morning? She said, the things that you thought were impossible will not be. Why? Because you're taking off your sunglasses of impossibility. You're taking off the lie of the devil that you can't make it, you can't overcome. You're taking off religion that says, well, you'll only ever amount to this, because the mirror says you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. You can do all things, not some things. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Hallelujah. What's in the mirror? Huh? Can God lie? Can his word lie? Huh? Can the word of God lie? Absolutely not. Folks, I want you to see, on the inside, you are made complete in Christ. Now, has this flesh and our soul realm caught up with that? No. Is that an everyday process of becoming more like Jesus in the outer man? Yes, it is. That's why we have such wonderful praise times, because it helps the outer man become more like Jesus. Amen? And worshiping him. But you know what? You also become that way by looking in the mirror. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. I have a couple of more scriptures I'm going to give you, and we'll bring this to a close, but you got to see it. Now, we saw also that the larger the mirror, the more you see. What does that say? The more you look in the Word of God, the more you'll see reflected who you really are, and the more you can say thank you to Jesus by acting on that. See, people that don't read the Word will never see from the instruction book who they really are. You understand what I'm saying? You'll never see it. The instruction book shows you. It's a mirror of what you are and what you have. And for me to appreciate everything Jesus did, for me to really say thank you to him, the best thing I can do is, Jesus, you didn't do that in vain. It says, by your stripes, we are healed. So, Jesus, if you bore those stripes, the greatest thing I can do to say thank you is to apply healing to my life and to everybody's life I see around me. If there's a sick person, I want to lay hands on them. I want to declare healing in Jesus' name. That's saying thank you to Jesus, appreciating all he's done for us. Amen? You know, somebody buys you a car and you never drive it, they're going to go, well, did they really appreciate it? But I mean, if they see you driving all over the place, man, they really do like that car. They appreciate it. See, that's how we do it with Jesus. So the more you look in the mirror, the bigger the picture you get. Now, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, what does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? Now, when it says holy there, it's not in you, it's holy in him. Because I can't approach him. It says all of my works in the flesh are as dirty rags. So I can approach him as holy. I approach him and say, Jesus, you made me holy. You bore all my sin, and by your blood, I'm holy. Hallelujah. See, he makes you holy. So you can come in freely. Scripture says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. So we come in, and it says, Be not conformed to this world, this age, this system. Nola was sharing how there's a lot of falsities out there.
New Age, cult religions. There's only one true, and that's the Holy Spirit. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How's your mind renewed? By looking in the mirror. The more you look in the mirror, the more your mind is renewed. Hallelujah. How many of you ever just looked at yourself in a mirror, just a quick glance, you walk away, and then you think, well, I just looked at, you know, did I have my earrings on? Maybe, ladies, you say, I just had my earrings, but I didn't check my hair. So you go back and you check your hair. You go back, and the more you look, the more you see. The more you dissect, the more you understand, right? Same way with the Word of God. We stay in the Word. We stay looking at those things because it transforms us into the image of Christ. Now, I want you to see something that really, really excited and ignited me. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Verses 1 and 2. Nola, why don't you read that for me? This is the Mount of Transfiguration. And you've probably heard these scriptures before.
Yep. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light.
Is everybody familiar with this? Have you heard this before talked about? So you're familiar with the Transfiguration. Now, can you think of another character in the Bible who shone with the light of God? Moses, yes. What happened to Moses? He was on the mountain in the presence of God, and what happened? He was shining with the light of God. And when he came down the mountain, what did they have to do? Put a bag over his head. Yeah. They had to put a bag over his head, literally. You know how people take bags and cut holes out so you can see? That's what they had to do with Moses. Put a bag over him, put a little eye hole so he could see. And you know what? We attribute this same characteristic to Jesus because that's the way our mind thinks. But we're missing it 100%. You see, Jesus, when he was transfigured, was not because he came into the presence of God. Jesus was not transfigured from the outside in. He was transfigured from the inside out. The glory of the Lord was resident within Jesus, and he opened himself up and allowed that glory to permeate his flesh to such a degree that his flesh and clothes were glowing like light. Hallelujah. Where did the glory come from? The inside. The word transfigured there comes from a Greek root, which is the identical Greek root from Romans 12, 1 and 2, where you see transformed. It's the same word. It's the same word you see in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says changed. Changed, transfigured, transformed are all the same word. What does Romans 12 says? Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transfigured. Hallelujah. What happened with Jesus when he was transfigured? The glory came from the inside out. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, where I ask you to hold. I'm going to read it again. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God. Where did we continue to behold this? In the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is a what? It's a what? It's a mirror. We continue to behold this. Well, if I look in a mirror, and a mirror is not generating that image, it's merely reflecting it. It means as I look in the Word, I am seeing a reflection of what I already am. Okay? We continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, if you look in the mirror and see the glory of the Lord, where is the glory coming from? If you look in the mirror and see the glory of the Lord, where's it coming from? Us. You see the same Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11, we quoted it earlier. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells, lives in you. He does live in you. So therefore, the same glory Jesus had as a human being on this earth, filled with the Holy Ghost, resides inside of you right now. And it says you are ever being transfigured into the image of Jesus Christ. That's our number one responsibility as a child of God, is to be turned into little Jesuses in this earth. How do we do it? By looking in the mirror. And when we see it in the mirror, we say, Lord, that's who I am. My mind may not conceive it yet. Religion may have told me otherwise. Religion may have said, oh, you're just a little worm. You just crawl by. Maybe one day, if you're lucky, you'll please God. No, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says we can please God. Amen? It says we can praise God. He receives our praise. It says we're all things He says we can be. So when I look in the mirror and I say, Lord, my mind hasn't got it yet, but I'm going to keep looking in the mirror till I get the revelation. I'm going to keep looking in the mirror till I get the revelation. I'm going to keep looking in the mirror till it becomes so clear in the mirror. See, there's a veil there, but that veil's disappearing. It's going to become clear in the mirror. I'm going to keep looking in the mirror till I get it. Then, the greatest way I say thank you to the Lord is, once I got it, I'm going to walk in it now. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk in it. Why? Because the Word is a mirror. It doesn't generate that. It merely shows what you already have. It is alive. It's alive to renew your mind. It's alive to change your heart. It's alive to show you the truth of what you already have. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, folks, if you will take this and apply it, have praise and worship. See, we worship God in many ways. If you look in Scripture, I could take you through Scripture. I have, like, I think 5 or 6 ways that we worship God. One of the ways we worship God is in giving. It's called an act of worship to give. Did you know that? So when you come to give, that should be a worship. Reading the Word is an act of worship. Raising our hands and praising God is an act of worship. There's different ways. When you do unto your neighbor as you would have them do unto you, you do good deeds in the name of the Lord, with the right heart attitude, that is an act of worship. It pleases the Lord. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto one of these little ones, you've done it unto me. See, everything we can do in our life is an act of worship. Do you want to say to Jesus, thank you in the greatest way possible? How do you do it? You say, Lord, make me more like Jesus. Get in the mirror. Get in the mirror. And when you see what the mirror's reflecting you are, even if the outside says, you're crazy, that can't be you. If people around you are saying, that's not you, no way, you can't be what that says you are. You say, no, that's what Jesus made me to be. That's what the mirror reflects. So praise God, that's what I am. Hallelujah. And Lord, remove anything that would hinder me from walking in the fullness of that. Deal with my heart. Deal with my attitudes. Deal with wrong teaching I've had. Retrain my mind. Show me what I need to do so I walk in the fullness of that. And God will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, are you getting this, folks? This will revolutionize you. This will change you if you look at the Word, and you have to persevere. You have to continue to behold yourself. You can't look just a glimpse, you know, just a little glance. You can't just over the Word. You've got to persevere. You've got to stay in it. Because then you will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You'll walk in those things. So, if the Word says, just like we said in Mark 16, I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what the mirror is reflecting? Yeah. So what do I tell my body? Body, I don't care how you feel. Circumstances, I don't care how bad you look. I don't care if they named it as cancer, heart disease, brain tumor, you name it, inoperable. I don't care what they say. If the word, which is the mirror, reflects and says, I'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, then when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Hallelujah. Because that's what the mirror says. Oh, hallelujah. Do you get it, folks? Do you get it? Amen. If you're reading the instruction manual of your stereo and it says this is the volume knob, turn it to the left, the volume goes down. Turn it to the right, the volume goes up. Does it mean that when you turn it to the left, the volume goes down and the right, the volume goes up? Does it? Yeah. When the mirror shows you something, does it mean that's what it is? Yes. Can God lie? No. You are what the mirror says you are. Whether you feel like it or not. Whether anybody's put you down, said you're not capable, you're unworthy, doesn't matter. Because the mirror always tells the truth. Hallelujah. So what am I looking at tonight? Or this morning? What am I looking at? If I had the Word of God as a big mirror up here, what would I see reflected from you? You know what I'd see? I'd see a champion. I'd see more than a conqueror. I'd see a world changer. I'd see somebody that can do anything. I'd see somebody that can walk on water. I'd see somebody that can cast out devils. I'd see somebody that can speak the word and life comes into things. Folks, I'm telling you, this is real. This is what we've got to get a hold of. And the prophetic word given to Nola for this church was move into that new faith level. How are you going to get that, folks? You got to get in the mirror. How are you going to do the things God's calling this church to do? Get in the mirror. Amen? Do you understand? Because it shows you what you already have. And when God calls you to do something, you say, yeah, I know that's me. I can do it. Now, let me give you an example of why this is important. I walked into a hospital room one time. And there was actually a waiting room. A man in surgery had an emergency surgery. I walked in. The family was very, you could see there was depression there. They were very upset. They were crying. And my heart went out to them, and I said, Lord, they need some hope. They need some help. And the Holy Spirit so clearly said to me, you just walked in. Ooh. You know what that means? Everywhere I go, I carry the glory of the Lord. When I walk in, Jesus just walked in. When you walked in, every gift of the Spirit just walked in. When you come in, all the hope that's possible just walked in. Because you have the same thing in you Jesus had. And the more your mind's renewed to that, the more you can release those things of God that are already in place inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a car in Australia, and we bought the car. We're very pleased with it. We're driving it. But we didn't read the manual. And you know what I found out? Looking in the trunk one day, that car had a 10 CD changer with an amp in the back. I had no clue. Had no clue. 10 CD changer. Well, we started using it after we found out. Do you know many Christians are like that? Oh, God, if only I could do this. Oh, God, if only I had this. God, would you please make this part of me? Folks, look in the manual. You already got it. The manual will renew your mind to the fact you have it so you can start using it. What do I see here? I see champions. I see people that can take this city for Jesus. Why not? What's going to stop you? Is there a demon big enough? Is there a devil too strong to stop the children of Almighty God? Is there some circumstance in your life that you can't stomp your foot and say, no, the mirror says I can come out of this. The mirror says I can overcome in this. Glory to God. Amen? You just going to sit back and be passive? Yeah, I might make a few people mad. That's okay. Are you going to sit back and be passive? Are you going to sit back and just say, oh, well, whatever happens will happen? Or are you going to stand up, stomp your foot, and start looking in the mirror and say, if this is what the Word says I am, if this is what the mirror shows me to be, then bless God, that's what I'm going to live. That's what I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to speak. That's what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. Huh? Are you going to get stirred up, or are you just going to passively let the devil beat you on one side of the head, then the other? Oh, I wish he'd stop, Lord. Please stop him. Please stop him. When the mirror says, you have authority in the name of Jesus. The disciples went out two by two. They came back rejoicing. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. It's not us. It's his name. It's his authority and power through us. So we get no glory. He gets all the glory. But the greatest thank you I can have, give Jesus is to use that authority. Hallelujah. You get it from looking in the mirror. Hallelujah. You'll never know who you are till you look in the mirror. And then you walk it. And that's what obedience is. It's not, okay, I'm going to make a list of 10 rules and follow these rules. It's, hey, you know what? I'm a child of God. And a child of God does listen to the Spirit of God, and he does obey him. So that's what I'll do today. I just choose to obey the Spirit of God. And you set yourself in a place to obey the Spirit of God because that's who you are. The way of the sinner is hard, not the way of the believer. Unless you're trying to follow a list of rules. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to do my best to be good today. No, I'm going to be good today because it's my nature to be good. I'm going to be kind today because it's my nature to be kind. I'm going to love today because it's my nature. That's what the mirror says about me. Hallelujah. I'm going to overcome today because the mirror says I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. I'll not be overcome. I'll be in them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look in the mirror. It shows you who you are. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, your word can't lie. It's absolutely true. You said if your word were to lie, that you would self-destruct because you put your word above your very name. Father, your word cannot lie. I thank you, Father, for the mirror you've given us, the instruction, the Bible, that shows us every precious little thing Jesus did for us, everything he did at Calvary. And Lord, I want to be a person that says thank you by taking all Jesus did and applying it and using it to destroy the kingdom of darkness and to bring up the kingdom of light, to lift up the name of Jesus, that men all over the world would lift their hands and say, Jesus is Lord, and recognize him. I want to use everything Jesus did for me. I want to say thank you in that way. But I'm going to tell you today, you can't do that if Jesus has never been made Lord of your life. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, that is the most important decision you will ever make. You need to do it today. There's the love of God here. He's wooing your heart right now. If anyone in this room doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, I want to pray with you this morning. So would you be brave enough to lift your hand and just say, that's me? Say, Brother Alan, that's me. I don't know Jesus, and I know it. I've never asked him to be Lord of my life. I've never prayed that prayer. Anyone in this room today? Hallelujah. Anyone at all? Okay, I don't see any hands. I'm just going to believe then that you're all believers in this room because no one raised their hands. Now, I'm going to put a challenge to you. Who wants to say thank you to Jesus the greatest way possible? Huh? Do you want to say thank you? Hallelujah. You want to say thank you to Jesus? Then you need to purpose, Lord, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. How do we do that? Well, the scripture tells us by worshiping Him in praise and worship, like we did this morning. What a wonderful, glorious time. We worship Him by giving to others. We worship Him by giving of finance. It's an act of worship. But we also worship Him by reading the Bible, getting in the Word, and that Word renews our mind to show us. It's a mirror to show us what we already possess, what we already have in Jesus. Now, if you want that stirred in you today, Nola's going to come join me, and we're going to pray. And I want you to get hold of this. Folks, you will never be the same once you start actively looking in the mirror. Things that before the devil would say, oh, that's impossible, that can't ever happen. You'll read in the mirror, all things are possible to him that believes. And you'll see that and you'll say, wait a minute, that must be a lie. Because the mirror shows all things are possible to me. So that's been a lie all along. I rebuke that lie in Jesus' name, and I accept the truth. All things are possible to me because I choose to believe. Father, I pray that everyone has that hunger, has that stirring on the inside in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. To look in the mirror, to know all things that are of God. All things Jesus has made available for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why, folks? Because I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I want to be the little Jesus on this earth that He's called us to be. His disciple. His example. Amen? Ambassadors. That's what we're called. Of heaven. I want to be all that I can be in that. And I know as I seek Him, as I know Him, in intimacy, and as I look in the mirror and see who I am, I will move into those areas. So we stir that up today. Now I want you to lay your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, take this heart. Renew any part of it that displeases you. Show me as I look in the mirror of your word anything that would hinder me from being what you call me to be. Now put your hand on your head. Say, mind, I'm telling you today, you will be renewed. As you look in the mirror, the Holy Spirit will renew you. And you will understand what it is Jesus has done and made you to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you get it, folks? Was it simple? Was it Texan? Amen. It's not a complicated issue. It's a very easy thing. You got to stay in the mirror to know who you are. Okay? No shortcuts. It's the manual. It tells you what you already have. That's what we go by. Hallelujah. Now, the elders will be here. Others, I don't know if you have a prayer team, Nick. Do y'all have a prayer team of people? Prayer team, if you want some prayer, please feel free to come up for prayer. I will tell you this, that if you come for prayer, come with your need specifically stated. Sometimes people come up and they want to tell us the whole history of how this came about. Well, it started 20 years ago, back at my grandma's house when, you know, we had an old car and, you know, we don't need to know all the details. Just come up like, I've gotten a report that I have cancer. All right, that's all we need to know. Then we can take over from there. Everybody got that? So don't give us a long history. Just tell us the need, and we will take the word of God. The mirror says, hallelujah, by His stripes you were healed. Amen? It says in the mirror that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. The mirror says all things are possible. So we're going to take what the mirror shows us and apply that to your life. Just make it brief, if you would. Okay? Praise God.